All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome to this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. We're building up a good, faithful leadership, our viewership. I'm here. I'm your host, Andy Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Dan Peisner. Hi, Dan.
Hey there, Andy.
Dan, we always have to talk about the weather. Here, the weather is beautiful in St. George. How's it looking in Dallas?
Looking nice right now. It's nice and clear. No angry basketball players in the background. Sorry about that. But
basketball needs to drop off that building now because the Mavericks are struggling.
Yeah, that now it's an ad for collision repair.
Oh, well. But the future looks bright. So not a lot of people know this. We're the official sales tax. Well, maybe unofficial sales tax consultant to the Dallas Mavericks, and we always watch with great interest. We have a lot of excitement for next year when we get some injured players back, and I'm excited for it. We get the reigning or about to be the reigning rookie of the year, and man, it's going to be good. It's going to be good next year. It's even fun this year, but we digress, Dan. We're going to talk about sales tax for e-commerce businesses. And today we're going to hat tip to one of our great clients who sent us a letter. Well, it's a bad letter that she got from the state of Washington. And we told her we would go over it right here in our podcast. So, Dan, I'm going to share with everybody, for those in our Facebook live audience, and if you're viewing this on recording, then you get to see this letter that I have doctored up a little bit in this app called Sketch. So I have pixelated the name and taxpayer ID, but this is a very recent letter. And coming from the state of Washington, we know that the state of Washington has been super aggressive against e-commerce businesses. This particular business is a computer service business, software business. And I just find this letter very interesting. I want to get your comments. So It's kind of a friendly letter. It's not demanding anything necessarily. I mean, state letters can be pretty harsh. So check your records for unpaid use tax and respond by April 25th. So most computer service businesses with locations in Washington owe some use tax. And please review your records purchases since January 1st, 2015 for possible unpaid use tax. So, Dan, why did they go back to January 2015 in your opinion?
Well, they went back to January 1st of 2015 because they're presumably these businesses are businesses that are filing Washington sales tax returns and Washington use tax returns. So because returns are being filed, the state can't go back 7, 8, 9, 20 years. They're limited. They're required to only go back the statute of limitations.
All right. So obviously this is a registered taxpayer in the state of Washington, and they did some analysis of returns and said, here is a business that must not be remitting very much use tax or not as much as we expected.
It's possible that they're not even, that they may not be even doing that level of analysis. This is, to me, this is very much a true phishing letter. And this is the second state I've seen use something like this. And what this is primarily geared towards is what is known as use tax, or in some states, consumer's use tax. It's not the tax you collect from your customers. It's the tax that you pay on your own purchases within a state where the vendor, for whatever reason, did not charge you tax. So this is a self-reported tax. It's one of the lesser known responsibilities that for a lot of businesses, and a lot of them won't even find out they should be doing it until the friendly sales tax auditor stops by and looks at their books and records.
Right, Dan, that's perfect. Because a lot of businesses don't, it hasn't dawned on them, and nobody wants to know this. So it's not surprising that that it would slip by you. Most businesses do not know that they owe tax on purchases, right? They're not used to that, especially smaller businesses. But in just reading this letter, it's asking for some actions to go online to our Youth Tax Response website. I guess they're trying to measure the effectiveness of this campaign. Enter your 10-digit taxpayer ID, or no, it's the ID of this letter, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to know, is this effective? Because if it is, boy, we're going to send out a lot of them. And indicate whether or not you owe use tax. By taking the above steps, your account will be cleared whether you owe use tax or not. What do they mean by your account will be cleared?
I'm not certain of. What's interesting is taken in conjunction with what's on the bottom. If you go to that number two, report and pay the use tax due on your next excise tax return to avoid penalties and interest. In my opinion, what the state's doing is they're trying to see how much can we get some money with some revenue with relatively little effort. They're trying to grow their tax base. They've managed to substantially grow it through making Amazon collect on behalf of all of the e-commerce sellers. They've been highly, highly aggressive on the Nexus area, hitting everybody with 7 years worth of back taxes. And this is just another area that compliance is low in, the use tax compliance. And so I think they're sending some letters out, gathering some information. If you're already paying it, you put in, or you're not responsible, you put in no. If you should repay it, then you put in yes, and then you ostensibly report it on your next return. And you can even keep this letter handy if an auditor does come in and say, hey, said I can avoid penalties and interest, and see what they do if they honor that. There's been no word from the department as to whether this is actually going to shield you from penalties or interest.
Yeah, I don't know what they mean by your account. If they mean your tax account or the account that says, did they respond to this letter or not?
I have a feeling that's the one, that there may very well be a second and a third letter and or a more active examination. It really is hard to know. I think the states kind of shotgun these out just to see who responds. Because if all your effort is a couple of computer generated algorithms to generate these and the postage and the ink, then you don't have to have a particularly high response rate to start making some money off of this. And from the state's perspective, once you learn of the use tax, they're hoping that you'll keep paying it. And so they'll get a constant stream of money as you buy new equipment. And since this one in particular is geared towards computer service businesses, they're always buying new equipment.
So as I dig into this letter, this is very, very interesting. So it says if you owe no use tax, then you enter no, and your account will be cleared whether you owe it or not. But if you do owe the use tax, oopsie, that's a big one. If you do owe the use tax, take the following steps. You can take one of the following actions, and that is you can actually calculate, review your purchases going back 4 years and identify those that were untaxed, and they have a hip handy tips for finding use tax below, or you can use the chart below to estimate your use tax liability. This is very interesting because they say to use the chart, multiply the annual average value by the number of years to determine the amount you must report. That language, you must report for both state and local use tax on your excise tax return. I mean, they're careful, very careful how they word these letters. So let's say you're making $50 million. Let's say you're making $500 million worth of purchases. No, you have $500 million worth of gross business income. It says the average value of items subject to use tax is 1.5 million, right?
Right.
This down here. I doubt that they are giving you the option of paying 1.5 million when you could be, you might owe 15 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it says to use the chart, multiply the annual average value by the number of years to determine the amount you must report.
You know, and again, it's hard to know if anything on this letter has any force. Washington, as we've said many a time, Washington's a very aggressive state. However, I think there is an argument that they're almost presenting this as a safe harbor.
Right.
And so you could say, and that could be what this is intended. This might be the state saying, if you come forward now and report this on your next return without us having to really track you down further, and you just pay the estimated value on here, the state may be saying, well, you know, yeah, they may be a bigger company than they may be bigger than a
or you might have sales, let's say, of $4 million. And just this year, you actually bought $1 million worth of stuff, you know, $1 million worth of computers. And it's saying the average value in that category of $4 million, a giant arrow, $4 million means you have a average value of 25,000. So that times four is 100 times 8% is 8,000. You pay 8,000 in use tax and you actually owed 80,000. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be a giant business that they might come out better. So I would say, just in terms of takeaway, because this, I wouldn't just automatically go on this website and enter this information because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Before you do anything, I would call, this is what I would do for our clients if they wanted us to. Dan, I think we should call the state of Washington and ask, you know, our contacts there, ask them specifically, what does this letter mean? And if you don't want to go to all the trouble to review your purchases since January 2015, can you just use the number that they give you? And what happens if that number is a lot less than your actual purchases? Or what happens on the other side if you pay that and you go back and review your actual purchases later and it turns out, hey, we way overpaid. Can we get the money back? So if you would like us to do that, I think that's what I would recommend that we do for our clients that get these letters, if they want us to, and just track down what this letter really means and where do we go from there. But those are some of my thoughts just at first blush of reading this letter. What are some potential issues there? But my other takeaway from this is, isn't this interesting how government works? You know, they think they can just send out letters and they say, you know, if you have a business doing about $5 million in business, just send us 8,000. Just look through if you make this level of sales, send us that. So what if you were a business and you could send letters to your own customers and say, hey, a lot of our customers just pay us an amount each year, and we've come up with this table. It turns out our customers that buy less than $500,000 from us, they pay us on average they pay us $1,000. If you're above that, you might pay us $5,000. It's just interesting how government works, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is a different world.
So Dan, what do you think of my advice? I mean, would you say anything different? Like maybe I'm off base here?
No, I think that's absolutely accurate. I think if it's just a few items here or there, and your risk is really de minimis, if you found maybe a couple of printer cartridges from Amazon didn't get taxed, I don't know that I would even mess with it at that point. I'd just throw it on the next return and be done with it. But if you do have material purchases that you've identified, or goods that were brought in, or something where a tax should have been collected and it was not in the state of Washington, then I think that's exactly right. You want to get some information from Washington on just what the unspoken particulars are for this program, and use that to formulate your plan of attack, so to speak.
Yeah, because this annual gross business income, and then the corresponding average annual value, man, can't say that. That I would think pertains to Washington business income, right? So it wouldn't be your gross revenues worldwide. But that would be another question I would have for the Washington Department of Revenue.
Well, that could be, I could see it going either way on this one, really, because it is a computer businesses, wherever the computers are located, the amount of servers you need to buy and the equipment will scale up as your, the size of your business grows. So because this is targeted to that specific industry, this may be just, occasionally you do get where states just decide that a given industry is not compliant, and they try to come up with a program to bring more of them into compliance. That could be a touch of what we're seeing here.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting. So I'm sure that other businesses are getting these, and I would be interested to see if these tables are different by industry or by location. Very interesting. So if you're out there listening and you get contacted by Washington for this unpaid use tax, let us know and we'll take a look at it. Maybe we'll put you on the your letter up here on the hot seat and give you some specific advice. So, Dan, that's probably enough for today's podcast. Thanks for being here, and we'll check you next week.
My pleasure as always.